Amen. All right, I got something to read to you. All right, so everybody's heard of the Air Force's ultra-high security, secret, super secret base out in Nevada, right? So how can it be a super secret? Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's known simply as Area 51. And late one afternoon, the Air Force folks out there were very surprised to see a Cessna coming in to land at the runway on their super secret base. And they immediately impounded the aircraft and hauled the pilot into an air interrogation room. The pilot's story was that he took off from Vegas, got lost, spotted the base just as he was about to run out of fuel. And the Air Force started a full FBI background check. That takes a while. Take it from somebody that knows. And check on the pilot, and they held him overnight during the investigation. And by the next day, they figured out, they were finally convinced that he really was lost, that he wasn't some kind of spy. They gassed up his airplane, gave him the terrifying, "You did not see a base here," briefing, complete with threats of spending the rest of his life in prison if he ever came back, told him the heading to get back to Vegas and sent him on his way. The next day, in total disbelief, they watched that very same Cessna come back to the base and land there. They surrounded the plane, only this time there's two people in the plane. The guy got on his knees, put his hands behind his head. They circle him with rifles. He says, "I don't care what you do to me, but you're going to tell my wife where I was last night." Amen. I would risk it too. Amen. I don't want her mad at me. Anybody else I can handle, I don't want her mad at me. Take your Bible tonight. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. That song kind of went with the message. I wasn't trying to improve on it. We didn't. But it went with the message. So we're going to talk about spiritual warfare again tonight. The other night we talked about the whole armor of God, but we're going to get right into it now. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. And here's what Paul writes. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." War a good warfare. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I appreciate the military theme of our Bible. I'm glad that we didn't have to become wimps to become children of the King. A lot of people think that Christians are wimps. Now, you and I know better, but I'm going to tell you why they think that. Because so many are. Boy, I'm glad God saved me in a jail cell, put me in a church with real men and real women with the courage to stand up and fight for Jesus Christ. Now, I've got to add this before I move on, that verse in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Verse 4 says this, "No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." And if there's something I see traveling around the country, is that Christians easily, with the best of intentions, are deceived into getting entangled in the affairs of this life, whether it's debt or just the affections of their heart. And there's a way to deal with that. And we're not taking advantage of that like we could, like we should, like we once did. How do you start getting unentangled, Brother Spurgeon? At an old-fashioned altar. That's how you start getting unentangled. When the Spirit of God bears witness to something in your life, you need to strike while the iron's hot. I guess we put it on our bucket list. The problem with that is there's so many distractions between the final amen and you getting in your car and you rounding up your kids and you turning on the radio and you driving home and something comes out in front of you, whether it's a deer or a truck or something, by the time you get home, you forgot what's on your bucket list. That's why you should deal with stuff while God deals with us. Amen. I'm a firm believer in that. Say, yeah, you must be. You mention it all. I'm going to mention it every night the rest of my life. Amen. Come on. Amen. This is real. This is personal. Right. Amen. All right, so to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to what? War a good warfare. So I'm going to call this the ABCs. That ain't the funny part. The ABCs of spiritual warfare. All right? Brother, sin. I'll never get used to that. Would you pray for the message tonight, bro? Thank you, brother. Oh, ABCs. A, all hands on deck. Come on. Oh, we're talking about spiritual warfare. I'm a local church guy. Amen. And number one, the A stands for all hands on deck. Amen. Amen. Successful warfare, including spiritual warfare, demands all hands on deck. What you do to be able to war good warfare is you have to have operational integrity. Operational integrity. That requires everybody being where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing. Amen. That isn't deep, that isn't hard, but the number of people that aren't where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing, it makes it warrant saying it again. Amen. And the good news is, I'm a veteran, so in warfare, there's a job for everybody. There's a job for everybody in the Army. It's called a military occupational specialty. Amen. Mine was 11 Bravo. That is light weapons infantry. There was a P at the end of that for paratrooper qualified. That was my MOS. If you get out of the military and you go to the unemployment bureau and on your DD-214, there's a box with your MOS, and then the next box next to it is your civilian equivalency. So if you train to be a welder, you train to be a mechanic, you train to be a policeman, your MOS will be there, and then they'll look at that and they'll say, okay, well, you've been trained with skills that'll make you valuable in this field, and praise the Lord for that. My DD-214, the little box says N.A., amen. Not applicable. There is nothing we train this guy is there a civilian crossover. So I joined a bike gang. I thought it made sense at the time. I was young and dumb. But there are a lot of military occupational specialties, and every one of them is important. Amen. There's a job for everybody. Every job is important. Every branch of our military is important. We go back and forth, but at the end of the day, when we're all working together, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, when we're working together, we're unstoppable. The only enemy that can hinder the United States military is in Washington, D.C. Amen. We're talking about operational integrity. Every member is part of an integral part of a unit. Key word. Unit. Amen. Another word, maybe it would be team or crew or outfit or even group. Amen. And it says this, Philippians, go there, Philippians chapter 1. So for war, good warfare, we got to work together. That's how it works. And so Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul writes this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Look at this, that ye stand fast in one spirit. He's writing to a local church, one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's our commission tonight, brother and sister, to war good warfare, to do what we're called to do in the community that God puts us. Amen. We're going to have to strive together with one heart. Loose cannons are dangerous. Amen. I don't know if you know where that term came from, but on the old sailing ships, I got to tour of the USS Constitution one time in Boston Harbor. And buddy, that thing had the ports on the side, and they'd flip open back around the War of 1812, and cannons would roll out. Amen. And those old war sailing warships that get broadside with each other and shoot at each other. Amen. And a loose cannon, it describes a cannon that isn't strapped down inside in the below deck. Because if that thing's not, the recoil will send it across the ship and out the back, out the other side. And if you're in the way of that thing, and we don't need loose cannons in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. We're supposed to work together. Every unit, I tell you this, I learned this, every unit has a chain of command. Amen. I never saw anybody go into basic training and at the end of 8 weeks come out and start giving their opinion to the company commander. They look pretty stupid. I had seen guys spend a couple years in Bible school and come out and correct 30-year veterans. Oh, well, I think we ought to do it like this. You're an idiot. I went in the Army as an E1, and I came out of basic training as an E1. Amen. That's you make rank by time and grade, by service. Amen. Titus chapter 2 and 15 says this: these things speak, and Paul's writing to Titus, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Rebuke, like it says in 2 Timothy 4, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. That's the pastor's job. That ain't your job. You don't know half of what's going on in other people's lives. Your job is to do the exhorting. Amen. You let the preacher deal with the flock. You pray for one another. You exhort one another. We don't have a board of critics, and you're not on it. Amen. Amen. There's a chain of command. And if you're on it, I feel sorry for you, because that's an unbelievable responsibility. And you're going to need God to do that right and fairly. But the rest of us, we just report. Amen. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Leadership is imperative in warfare. So is fellowship. I got a church in Phoenix City, Alabama, right out across the river from Fort Benning, where some of us went to paratrooper school long, long time ago, right, Brother Tom? Long time ago. And that pastor there, and I still preach there, that pastor says, I've never had a problem from a military guy that's come to my church. And that's the Ranger school, the paratrooper school. That's where the tanker school is now. There's some serious soldiers go through Fort Benning, Georgia. He said, I've never had a problem with them. I get up and preach, and they don't buck the system because they understand I'm the pastor, I'm in charge. You know where I have problems? And he said, from guys that have been to college, guys that they think their opinion matters. It might matter somewhere, but we're talking about spiritual warfare. Your job is to report for duty and take orders. And if you get put in a position to give orders, then you give them. But until then, we're talking about operational integrity. We're talking about all hands on deck. We're all part of this thing. But we have to do our part, not someone else's part. There's another thing that's imperative. It's called situational awareness. And that's a job for everybody too. What's that mean? Well, it boils down to focus. It says in Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What's circumspect? It means know what's going on around you. Amen. The word circumference and circle. Walk circumspectly means, amen. I went to infantry school in Fort Polk, Louisiana, and I'll tell you what, I didn't like them drill sergeants. They put us in the swamp on a 2,000-meter escape and evasion range with alligators and snakes, let German shepherds loose on us with a half a mile head start, and I was glad I paid attention because I didn't want to get bit by anything. And what they taught us was to be aware of what's going on around you, because the thing that you don't see is the thing that'll take you out. That's right. Amen. And how about that? Right there in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us that we're supposed to walk circumspectly. Amen. Situational awareness involves staying in communication with headquarters. Now, I don't know what it's like these days. I don't know. What about Bluetooth? I don't get it. Man, we had them old radios, PRC-25s. Amen. We had handheld things. We had to run wire to the radios, all that stuff. Yeah, crank them up. And that's how we stayed in contact. Amen. So what do? One of the things you do in warfare is try to cut the communication line and the supply line of your enemy. And I don't know how they do it nowadays, but I know that it's just as important as ever to stay in communication. Amen. Now, a medium of communication is called media. Media. That's what the word means. That's where the word came from. And we should be in constant communication with God through Bible and prayer. Amen. And I would call that spiritual media. Spiritual media. Staying in communication with God. But this day and age, we're dominated not by spiritual media. Staying in contact with headquarters, we're dominated by social media. What does that mean? Very simply, it's man staying in touch with other men. Amen. God's out of the picture. Amen. That's kind of dangerous in a spiritual battle. Amen. Because the devil don't have, he might have Facebook, come to think of it. That's another message. Amen. But instead of spiritual media dominating, guiding a Christian's life, I don't like social media, but we're going to move on. And to me, in my opinion, people are way too interested in what's going on in other people's lives. Amen. When I was growing up in the 50s and the 60s, people were secret. You did your own laundry. You didn't put everything you know out there. And now, man, it's creepy to me. It's creepy. You want to know my business. You don't need to know my business. I don't want to know yours. Amen. And go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Here's my Facebook verse, one of them. And you snickering because I say Facebook, and there's probably 200 other things that people are using. That old man, he doesn't know. Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. 1 Peter chapter 4 and 15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer." And we can all agree that's bad stuff. I don't want to be guilty of any of that stuff. That's serious crime. There's a thief. I don't know what he stole, but there's one. A couple of them got crucified next to Jesus Christ. That's pretty serious. You get the death penalty. But the verse don't stop there, does it? That verse goes on and finishes with this. "Or as a busybody in other men's matters." In Athens, in Acts 17, they all had to meet at Mars Hill to see and hear some new thing. Now they just open a computer. But another time, read. I don't get it. I don't want to get it. Amen. But I'm telling you what, it'll rob you of your ability to be. Let me look at my notes and see what I said. Amen. Situational awareness. You're aware of things that are irrelevant. How can you focus on what's relevant? Amen. All right. So you better be real careful. Now you do what you want. You're accountable to God, and I don't care if you like that or not. If you don't, it's all right. Let it roll off your back. You're not doing anything wrong. Don't worry. So what? Don't worry about it. Amen. Usually, what I find is the people that are easily offended are the people that are probably doing what they shouldn't be doing. Amen. I never had a preacher offend me over something I wasn't doing. I didn't care. Amen. But I tell you what, I've heard preachers say some things that hit a little too close to home, and I wasn't happy. And I'll tell you what I did about it. I go to my old-fashioned altar, and I'd say, "God, what about that?" Amen. You know, there are times that God said, "That wasn't for you. That it wasn't for me. I wanted to be right with God." And there was more times than not he went, "Well, you heard it. What are you asking me for? Just get the thing right." That's how you grow as a child of God. You sit there like you know everything. You're an idiot if you think you know everything. How are we doing so far? I look around, it looks like I'm having more fun than some of you, but that's all right, that's all right. Proverbs 26 says this, verse 17. It says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." I love that. I've had a lot of dogs in my life, pretty serious dogs, none of them as mean as this Jack Russell terrorist I got out there now. But if I picture that thing grabbing a dog by the ears, and you do that dog, you let go of one hand, that dog will rip your face off. That sounds like a dangerous situation. Don't you love the way the Bible puts things clearly? I don't know what the NIV says. Maybe like taking a kitten by the ears and getting, I don't know what they say. But I got a King James Bible, and I'm telling you, that bad habit of sticking your nose where it don't belong. Amen. It will definitely interfere with your ability to stay focused on the things you're supposed to stay focused on. Devil's good at keeping us distracted. Amen. It's no accident. It's one of his devices. Amen. We're talking about spiritual warfare tonight. Nothing new, nothing you haven't heard, maybe a little different way. That's an evangelist's job. Amen. Stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So you've got a witness, and the evangelist comes in. Doesn't have to be me, but he gives you a Bible with a little different angle. That's the job. That's how it works together. Amen. And so first thing is we need is all hands on deck. Listen, Bible Christianity, I don't know about all this other stuff that's going on out there. I know this, contemporary Christianity wouldn't have held my attention for 6 months when I came out of jail. God put me in a room full of men and women too, I think I've said this, that really believed that book, that took living for God seriously. And I said, I've been looking for something all my life, from the paratroopers to the one percenters. I'm 38 years old by now. I've been looking for something worth living for all my life, and here it is. And I never did find it. I'm so glad I found I'm so glad he found me. Amen. Amen. Number one, all hands on deck. Everybody's got a place. Everybody ain't the preacher. Everybody ain't the missionary. Everybody ain't the usher. My first 4 years at the little Baptist church outside of Dayton, Ohio, where I went, I was an usher. I'm going to Bible school. I stood at the back door, and nobody got by me without getting a gospel tract, without getting a welcome packet, without getting a sincere welcome. I meant it. Amen. I did that with as much fervency as I do this, just not as loud. But I mean, I meant it too. I was serious. I tell them, you need anything, I'll be right back there. And then I did that 4 years, and then I got off federal probation, and God let me be an evangelist. I go to a church where there's ushers, and they're doing a good job. I said, be careful, man. You might be getting a bus one of these days. God might call you. I take this very seriously. I hope you get that for 30 years. But I don't take this any more seriously as I took being an usher. I thought an opportunity to do anything for Jesus Christ was an honor way over my pay grade. Yeah. Amen. They let me teach high school Sunday school for a year. Can you? And my preacher said, "Do you think? What do you think the fellows would think about seeing you teach in a Sunday school class?" Amen. I did the best I could. Amen. Worked out pretty good. Amen. So what's A again? All hands on deck. Number B. Number two, next. A, B, C, whatever. Ready for this? Batten the hatches. Batten the hatches. I don't know why all this sounds like Navy terms. Amen. But we got a Navy out there wherever they are. What do you call that? Hormuz. What a name. Yuck. And Persian, whatever that is. And I'm telling you what, those guys must be fired up because they're getting ready to, they're in warfare again. Our Navy has so dominated the rest of the world for so long and still does. They're probably itching to get out there and do something besides play war games in the Atlantic and Pacific. I'm praying for them, aren't you? Amen. You better be. Batten the hatches, that's a Navy term. It's a maritime expression. And it means this. I had to look it up. It means prepare for a difficult or dangerous situation, like rough seas and war. And you have to know how to batten the hatches. Now, I've been on two active duty Navy ships, warships. Amen. USS Iwo Jima, and I was preaching in a church where they had an officer on that ship. And he took me aboard. I was on the USS George Washington. I got a tour, which is real interesting for an infantry, Army infantry guy. I preach in cities, smaller, population-wise, than the USS George Washington. Oh, that's right. I'm in one right now. Amen. And I got to walk around, and I saw some things. And a Navy ship in the compartments below deck, They have doors that go from one compartment to the next, just like you got them. But they're called hatches, and they're not. They don't go to the floor. They're up off the ground a little bit, and they're sealable. And if something happens to one compartment, they can seal that thing off so that, like if they get hit, so that the ship doesn't flood. Am I all right so far? Kind of close? Amen. Correct me later if I'm not. Amen. And batten the hatches means to seal them doors. Prepare for battle. Amen. And you and I got some hatches. Now, I was thinking about this earlier, and I've heard the eye and the ear revert, the eye gate, ear gate. Well, they're hatches tonight. And you and I have some hatches that need to be sealed more often than they are, need to be battened more often than they are. How about the eye gate? Take your Bible, go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them people in Sodom, look what it says, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Buddy, I'll tell you what, we are dwelling among them in this day and age. I'm talking about the devil's world we're in, aren't supposed to be of. We're surrounded. We're worse than surrounded. We're under attack. We're being bombarded with images everywhere you go that'll vex your righteous soul. Learn to batten that eye hatch more than you do. Job said it like this in Job 31. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And you see there, the eyes and the mind, and they're connected. Amen. Psalm 101, David said it like this. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. That means stick. Amen. Like David's mighty men, hand cleaved, whatever, to the sword. Amen. And since what you set before your eyes cleaves to your mind, I suggest maybe you making a covenant with your eyes. Because there's a time, I'm going to tell you what, and it's worse than ever. In this day and age, you can't even walk around a Walmart without seeing scripturally naked women. Amen. You look at the news and there's little ads up and down. It's amazing. Fox News used to be my preference, but it looks like People Magazine. Every other thing has something to do with something I'm not going to mention. What in the world's that got to do with news? Amen. You got to learn to batten the eye hatch. And even there in our verses that referred to Lot, it said in seeing and hearing. And you got an ear hatch too. Proverbs 19 and 27 says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Amen. We live in the information age. Amen. I'm not even a reader. I can't imagine a person that could just read for hours and hours and having the internet at their disposal. That's a good word for it. It needs to go in the disposal. Amen. And there's so much information out there, and there's a hook in it. And one thing leads to another. Amen. So I've been preaching in a church over in Rochester area a number of years ago. And there's a guy about the third night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night, a little fellowship going on after. And he hadn't said anything to me. I didn't recognize him from previous years. But he came up to me, off to the side. Nobody, I wasn't talking to anybody. He said, Brother Spurgeon, my name is. He said, have you ever heard about, and he said something. I don't remember what he said, but I knew what he was talking about. Some kind of conspiracy thing, some kind of goofball thing that Christians get in. Amazing. Amazing. Christians that claim to be King James Bible believers swallow hook, line, and sinker some of that garbage on the internet, some of these sites, and then want to come in and say, preacher, did you hear about this? Are you kidding me? Oh, I can go on with a list of some of my favorite. Amen. This guy, he's feeling me out. He's filling me out, because that's what you do. You throw out a line and say, yeah, I heard about that. I think, and I'm not biting. Whatever it was, amen. And I'm just looking at him. And he said, no, seriously, I mean it. And he goes on and gives a little more, and I'm just staring at him like he's an idiot. And and he could tell I wasn't going on, and he's going on the defense. He said, no, Brother Spurgeon, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. It's documented. It's documented, he said several times. You need to look this up. It's documented. And I'm standing there, and I said, so by documented, you mean it's on the internet? He said, yes, you can go to this website. You can read it yourself. I said, so you, like, really believe everything that's on the internet? Now he's getting it. He understands. I am not on board with whatever goofy thing it is. And there ain't no telling. I'm trying real hard to be nice right now. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to say some of the things that pop into mind. So I said to the guy, I said, so you believe everything on the internet is true? And he doesn't say nothing. And I said, man, I'll tell you something. If I knew my Bible as good as you know that stuff, I'd be a better preacher. Amen. And I said, and if you knew your Bible as good as you know all that stuff, you'd be a better Christian. Right. He didn't talk to me anymore after that. I don't know. I don't know what to. Amen. You better be careful, the internet. Now listen, I use it. It's a tool. Amen. Now they keep talking about AI. You know what I think of? You know what comes to mind when I hear AI? Joe Biden's face. All the last 5 years, standing there talking, and I'm going, if that ain't artificial intelligence, I don't know what is. Amen. You think that's new? That ain't new. That ain't new. That's been running Washington for decades. Amen. Better be real careful. Like I say, it's a tool. I'm not preaching against it. I'm preaching against what you do with this stuff, whether it's social media, the internet. That's what you got to do. You realize you're going to give an account of your conduct at the end of this thing if you're saved? Amen. If you're not saved, you're not going to give an account of your conduct. You're going to give an account of not getting in on the greatest gift that was ever given. And it was said last night, you're going to be cast into a lake of fire. I hope nobody goes to hell. But you Christians got a judgment too. So that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. There's a hook in that internet. You better be careful. Remember Lot? I mean, the Lord's generous. He's recorded as being a righteous man. God's more generous than I would have been, considering what he did. You need to remember that when you start looking down your nose on somebody else. Just, you've been forgiven, you better stay humble. Amen. We're talking about batting in the hatches, spiritual warfare. And you need to batten that eye hatch. And it ain't easy. Worst of all, we're men. And women are affected too, but differently. But and then second of all, it's everywhere. Things that get the wheels turning. Man, I'll tell you what, we need to get a flat tire. I need a pen. I'm coming up with ideas that maybe. You and I do well to batten the eye hatch and the ear hatch. I'm going to tell you why. I'll get to that. We got another hatch. Needs to be burdened. Yeah. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Amen? Amen. Amen. Psalm 19:14 helps me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Don't pull me off to the side and try to tell me some joke that can't be said in mixed company. And I'm not saying I'm not super spiritual by any means. I'm not above. I got to stay away from that stuff. I've learned to abstain from all appearance of evil. I don't want to hear it. Amen. It'll mess with me. A corrupt communication is defined in the verse in Ephesians 4. And if it doesn't minister, that means help. And then it says grace to the hearer. Better be real careful. You better keep that mouth in check. Amen. This is where a lot of people mess up. And then between the eyes and the ears and the mouth, the reason it's important to keep that stuff, because you've heard the expression, garbage in, garbage out. You got another hatch that needs to be battened, and it's the mind hatch. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, look with me in verse 4. Paul wrote this. He said, 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every," look what it says, "and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Tell you what, we're going to have to learn to keep those other hatches batten, because once it gets in your mind, it's a whole lot harder. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your" what? "Renewing of your mind. And you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This book will transform and renew your mind. I was out there in sin a long time, and by the grace of God, I got some rational thought left. I hear people say, in their early, "Well, I drank and I did drugs and I can't memorize scriptures," and I went, "Shut up. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" Amen. It's a fight. So fight. Amen. Listen, this book will transform and renew your mind. Not YouTube. Amen. Not Google. How did that become a verb anyway? I thought it was the name of a company. Now it's a verb. Amen. I just call it the wizard. That's the Wizard of Oz, and he knows everything. Amen. Not apps. Apps. I hate apps. I hate the one where it says a servant of the Lord needs to be apt to teach. I'm not. My teaching is much like preaching, only you try not to spit as much. Amen. But phones, everything's got an app. Everything, you have to have a phone to do anything anymore, because that's not what renews your mind. Amen. And those things will transform your mind. They'll transform your mind if you let them, but it won't be in a good way. Amen. That book will transform and renew your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to saturate our minds with the Word of God to combat all this other, because our flesh ain't saved. Our flesh likes all that. But there's something inside of you that doesn't. And the God that made you and saved you doesn't. And He understands. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. So what did He do? First, He gave His only begotten Son so we could get our sins forgiven. Then He gave us a book so we could get victory over that stinking flesh. You're not at the mercy of that thing. Well, you're not supposed to be. You don't have to be. Amen. You don't want to be. There's victory. I said the other night, quit acting like, "Well, I'm just an old sinner." You're a child. Are you saved? It's time to start acting like children of the King. That book says, "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." I'm a victor. I got a lot of regrets, and I'm far from perfect. Amen. And I got to stay on my knees. But by the grace of God, I'm on the winning side. Hey, all hands on deck. Everybody's important. Every job's important. Everybody's necessary. Amen. B, we got some places that need to be guarded, sealed, batten the hatches. So far, so good. That's pretty good, huh? And how about this one? Number C, commit beyond retreat. Commit beyond retreat. You know what the branches do? All of them. I know this. They take an oath. They get sworn in, and they take a solemn oath to defend this country against all enemies. I might be saying it wrong. Foreign and domestic. They take an oath. They're committing. Amen. Beyond retreat. It's not like, okay, you're in the Navy now, and you can, you know, we'll see if everything goes the way you like it. And if it does, I hope you do your job. That ain't the military we were in. Yeah. Amen. I look around, I see a bunch of veterans here. I mean it. Thank you for your service. Yeah. Amen. So let me say this. Successful strategic warfare requires Commitment. I talked about commitment the other night. So take your Bible, and this illustrates commitment. Amen. As good as anything in your Bible to me. Take your Bible, go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he's, I don't know where to start. Let's start at verse 14. And 13, 14, I don't know where. Let's start at 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? He's hot. He liked them guys, but not now. He's mad. When the king is furious, that's not a good thing. Amen. Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, every one of you musicians can tell me what that is later. I don't know what that is. And psaltery and dulcimer and all kinds of music. You shall ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, he's given them one more chance. Amen. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This guy is. He's the king, man, and he's full of himself. They get the death penalty, no appeal, no 30 years on death row. Right now, in the same hour, you're going. I'm all for the speedy. Well, that's another message. And it says this. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. It's serious. They know it. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Is that true? Was that statement true? Yeah, God can do anything. Amen. But the next verse is what is commitment beyond retreat. And these next four words grip my heart. Because I watch Christians, I've seen Christians, pretty bold statement, till the rubber meets the road. And that's what's going on right here. And they said, I'll read 17 again. But if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire, from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But, verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set out. Man, I respect them boys, because they know this ain't a threat. This ain't an idle threat. Nebuchadnezzar, he's a killer. Amen. And they was ready to go into the fiery furnace. They were committed beyond retreat. They weren't seeing how far it'd go. What are we going to do if he says this? They knew what they were going to do. Amen. And, you know, in the airborne, we had a motto. The motto was all the way. All the way. And if and my officer, a paratrooper, buddy, stepped out, but if a paratrooper like me on base would come face to face with an officer, of course, we would salute. You salute officers. But that officer would say, how far? And our response was, all the way and then some, sir. That was our creed. All the way and then some. That's commitment beyond retreat. Amen? Instead of doing the best we can, or I'll try. Beloved, like Daniel in chapter 1, you and I need to learn to purpose in our heart. Amen. To commit beyond retreat. Talking about the ABCs of spiritual warfare tonight. All hands on deck. Batten the hatches, what does that mean? Keep your guard up. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Keep your guard up. Amen. Commit beyond retreat. That means chuck plan B. There is no plan B. We're going to finish this thing for the glory of Jesus Christ, because he showed us how to do it all the way to Calvary. And no, he's never asked us, never will ask us to do what he did for us. And we've got brothers and sisters in foreign lands that are dying. Amen. Like Christ did for our sins. They are. They're walking it right into the grave. But ain't none of them, nor ever will any of us ever become sin for us. Now that's a high bar right there that the Lord set. And we got to keep these things in mind in spite of the world, the flesh, and the devil trying to dilute that thinking. We need a purpose in our heart to walk this thing. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. ABC tonight, spiritual warfare. But I got a D for you. It's free. This one's free. Death before dishonor. It says this in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. On the contrary, wickedness will put you right in hell. Paul said at the end of his life, he said, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Now I look at that thing and I'm thinking, we're going to die anyway. Everybody's getting here. It's got two appointments. You got two appointments you're not going to be late for. Sometimes we're good at being late. We run late. You're not going to be late for death. And you ain't going to be late for the judgment either. Amen? Figure it this way. This is just me. If you're going to die anyway, might as well die right. Might as well die right. And you can. It's possible. That ain't. Jesus did. Paul did. My pastor did. Brother Ruckman did. A bunch of my heroes in the faith did. They showed us it can be done. I don't take it for granted. I could fall. I could fail. But I don't want to. And I'm going to keep my guard up. Amen, and you need to, too, so we can finish right. Amen. Spiritual warfare tonight. It's all about souls. Spiritual, that's the tip-off. It's about souls. Are you saved tonight? Amen. If not, you can sit through a revival for 7 days or 7 years and never get saved. So I don't take it for granted. But I'm going to say this, if you're not, and you've heard me preach, and you've heard other preachers, and you're not. I'm going to tell you what. There are forces at work, I mean, that you cannot comprehend to keep you from getting saved. The devil uses fear and doubt and pride. And people walk in and walk out. I pray that if you're in here tonight and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, don't let that crowd win again. If you are saved here tonight, and I reckon that's a bunch of you, there are forces at work, right. Same ones, to keep you out of the spiritual battle. Right. God's given you an opportunity for a concentrated dose of the Word of God and fellowship one with another. Amen. And maybe it's time. I preached down in San Antonio, and I like the history of the Alamo, and William Travis pulled that sword and drew a line in the sand, challenged them to step over, to commit. And they all died that did. Amen. And that Bible does. That's what that Bible does for me and you. It draws a line in the sand. Amen. And challenges you to step over. I'm glad I'm running with the crowd that stepped over, because they taught me how to. Amen. I didn't know anything about being a Christian at 37 years old. But God put me with some people that took this seriously. And I take it seriously too. And there's a bunch of people in this room I've been looking at for decades. And you take it seriously too. Praise the Lord. I commend you for it. It's a war that will end. Amen. I don't know when the thing in Iran is going to end. I don't know when the thing in Ukraine. I don't know when the spiritual thing is going to end, but I know it's going to. And I know who wins. I cheated. I read the last chapter. Amen. Let's all stand. Preacher, you come. ABC's of spiritual warfare tonight. Do business with God tonight. Let's re-up, re-enlist, commit. All right, preacher.